So right now, we're going to welcome up Pastor Matt as he comes to continue a series on Acts.
Fantastic, guys. I wonder if we could just pray before we just get into the word this morning. Father, we just say thank you. Lord God, we've been so aware of your presence that has been with us at this time. We thank you that you have been there and helped to navigate it and ministered so powerfully in this season, Lord God. And Lord, as we as a nation are just starting to transition out, and as a local church, we thank you that you go ahead of us. We thank you, Lord God, that you've done great things in this season. You're going to do greater things into the next. We thank you, Lord God, for the new adventures that we've already been on and that are still to come. And we just want to open wide our hearts as we've been journeying through this series in the book of Acts. Lord God, just show us, reveal to us your heartbeat, your pattern, your desire. Because ultimately we want to follow you in all that we do and all that we are. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Once again, it's so wonderful to have just a small group of people in here today just helping us. And it's always been wonderful in the last couple of weeks to be able to do that. And if you're at home, our hearts are just with you as well. And we so appreciate and value, and just big hugs to all of you guys out there as well. And as Jill was saying, we are just working towards a pathway and having in-person gatherings. And so we're so excited about that as well, which is fantastic. But what's exciting about today is that we are broadcasting live for the first time at 9 and 11 o'clock, which is really, really significant. And we're excited about that. And there's a team behind the scenes that are making that all possible, as well as those that you see on stage. And so I think that is wonderfully exciting. And how many of you actually enjoyed Pastor Danny Guglielmucci last Sunday? Just a great word, great message. And he ministered so powerfully out of the book of Acts and was speaking about the various postures that the early church had and what can we actually learn. And today I'm continuing our Acts series. And as you know, the book of Acts is about ordinary men and women transformed by the presence and power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And how, because of that, they went on to actually change the world in which they lived. And the message has been is that without God we can do so much, but with him we can do great and mighty things. And I know that God wants to do great and mighty things in your life and through your life and in us as a church community as well. And so our text today is out of Acts chapter 4. So if you want to turn to me there, you'll be able to follow as well on the screens. And we're going to read from verse 32 of Acts chapter 4. And it says this, it says, all the believers were one in hearts and minds. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons amongst them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. I've simply entitled my message today, The Allness of Our Faith. The Allness of Our Faith. And I look at this text and my heart is stirred and challenged by what I actually see. Because I don't know about you, but when I look at society today, I see a society that's very self-absorbed, that's kind of very much self-consumed. And it's something, it's all about the personal. It's about personal health. It's about personal wealth. It's about personal perspective. It's about personal choice. It's about personal goals, about personal desires. It's all about personal things. And there's a place for that. I get that and I understand that. But I think what it's created is that it's actually created a me or an I-centered world. It's actually created a world where we're the kind of center of it all. Yeah. Where you and myself, we're the center of our worlds and our existence. And yet we see, as we read here in the early church, that it was anything but that. Yeah. In fact, what we read here is that it seemed to be almost counter that. In fact, there was something that was being played out that was about the allness of our faith, not the I-ness of our faith. Yeah. And so I want to speak about that this morning. You know, many of us love a good selfie. I have been known to take a selfie every now and again. It can be a little bit of fun. To my wife's horror, sometimes we're on a walk somewhere and say, "Babe, let's take a selfie." And she's like, "Oh no, you know." And it can just be a good bit of fun when we do that kind of thing. But there's another side to the selfie, which I think is a very sad reflection of the culture in which we actually live today. And that's, it's a very me-centered culture. A culture that screams that if I'm at the center of the lens, then something is amiss. And that's the selfie culture in which we actually live today. But Jesus did not come to birth that kind of faith. He didn't come to birth that kind of church. You know, he was sent by God the Father, and he was sent to be the center of it all. He was sent to be the cornerstone. In fact, he said about himself a whole bunch of things. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He says, "I am the bread of life." He says, "I am the vine." He says, "I am the gate." He says, "I am the good shepherd." He says all these things about who he is. Why? Because he wants to be the center of it all. We are not meant to be the center. Culture says we are. Culture says it's all about the personal. Jesus says it's all about him. And there's an allness of the gospel that we need to capture, I believe, and that he wants to stir again in our hearts. And then he's calling us as individuals, as the church, to come back to. That King I is not the thing that needs to be center stage, but King Jesus is the one who needs to be on center stage. And he said to his disciples, this is Jesus, he said in John chapter 13, verse 34, he says this, he says, "A new command I give you." He says, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Don't you love that example? He just said, and he goes on to say this. He says, he modeled it. He says, "By everyone will know that you're my disciples by this." So he modeled it. He showed what it was. He said he gave his all for all. And now he says, now in turn, I want you, because of that, to now live on behalf of all. I want you to live it all. I want you to live with that allness of heart and spirit, where you give all for all. Because Jesus says, "I demonstrated what that looks like in person." You know, love is a face, it has a touch, it has a fragrance about it. It has to be not only spoken about, but it has to be seen and felt. You know, I've been married for just over 30 years, and if I was to say, Jill, my wife, that, you know, "Hey, babes, I love you," but she never felt it or she never saw it, I've got a little bit wiser over the years, and I began to realize actually she needs to see those things and she needs to feel it. Words are not enough. And I think when it comes to this thing, that in our faith, that it should be heard, it should be seen, it should be felt. He wants us to understand that. And not just by some, but by all. You know, the early church, as we've seen in this text here, modeled what this allness of our faith actually looks like. And I want to look at four things this morning that really point to that. And the first thing is this. It says that all the believers were involved. All of them. Not some, but all. Not the professionals, but all. Not the young, but all. Not the old, but all. Not people from certain socioeconomic backgrounds, but all. Not those that had a lot of knowledge, but all. You kind of get the idea. All means all. It says all were involved. It says it in verse 32, and it says all were of one heart and one mind. One heart and one mind. I love that thought, that there's something there that is beautiful. And I believe in the season that God is calling his church for all of us to see ourselves as valuable to what he is doing in the season. You know, it's not just for this season. As we see, that's how it was birthed. The church was birthed with a sense of allness. And so everyone has a role to play. Everyone is valuable. Everyone has a contribution to give. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how Paul speaks about the body of Christ. And he says how no one part of the body can say to another, "I have no need of you." And in fact, he says this in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I mean, you can't be any clearer than that. Every one of us is valuable. Every one of us is part of it. We need to inject ourselves into this allness of our faith and see that it's vital and important. You know, the early church, he says, they were of one heart and mind. They were of one heart and mind about God. They were of one heart and mind about his purposes. And they were of one heart and mind about his church. And there's something powerful about a community of faith that actually has a oneness of heart, a oneness of mind. And when Jesus is at the center of it all, that is unified. And saying, God, together we want to see your kingdom come. Yes. There's something beautiful and powerful about that. And I believe that the early church was powerful because all were involved. There was an allness. Now, I'm not saying that some may have been less and more. I'm not sure what they look like. But this text tells us that all the believers were involved. You know, it's and I find it interesting because it wasn't for self-glorification or acknowledgement. That's selfie thinking. When we only get involved because of what we can get out of it. That's selfie thinking. But they understood that it was the heart of Jesus. It was a kingdom heart to bring and be involved and be part of whatever God was doing. You know, it's interesting that's in chapter 5, a little bit the next chapter on from this text that we're reading here this morning. We haven't got time to go and read this account, but you find the account of Ananias and Sapphira, a married couple. And it's an interesting account because, you know, we see that there was this incredible generosity. It speaks about how some were selling as their hearts were stirred by the Holy Spirit. They were selling their property, selling their land, and bringing all the proceeds of that and laying it at the feet of the apostles for them to distribute wherever they saw there was need. And then we find Ananias, and he said he comes along and he sells a piece of land that he actually has. But the difference here was that Ananias kept some of the money back from that sale for himself. And it says that Peter kind of finds out about this and actually approaches him and actually publicly actually rebukes Ananias and he falls down dead as he's spoken to. Struck down, dead. And it says the fear of the Lord strikes everyone who actually heard about what had actually happened. And then unbeknownst to her, his wife, Sapphira, comes in a few hours later. And she comes in and Peter asks her the same question. Peter was one of the leaders of the early church and comes in and says, did you actually bring all the money that you said you were going to bring and put it at the feet of the apostles? And she says, yes, we did. But we know the reality is they didn't. And it says she too falls down dead. And great fear of the Lord strikes everyone that actually heard about it. Now, you kind of think on the surface of things that it doesn't actually sound so bad what Ananias had done. I mean, you kind of think, well, he gave money. He gave a whole lot of money and kept some for himself. I can kind of rationalize that. I can understand why that might have happened. And on the other hand, you might say, man, but it sounds like God dealt with him pretty harshly. I mean, not only the husband, but the wife as well, both lose their lives over this issue when they kind of did give something, but they, you know, really? Is this a loving God that we serve? And I've always thought about this text, but I think there's something in this about, I think God knew that the allness of what he was actually wanting to be in his church and his people was kind of potentially being undermined in this very moment. That there was something there that through their actions that God knew that if he didn't stop what was going on here, there was kind of more the selfie spirit that was going to get a hold. Yeah. There was this thing of kind of saying, actually, and so it had to be dealt with. You know, Pastor Danny actually said this at the time. He had a time with us last week with our leaders, Fusion leaders, and he said it this way. He said that image was being prioritized over integrity. So they want to look like they were doing everything. Yeah, look at us. We're doing everything. We're giving and those things. But actually, they hadn't given all. And so integrity was at stake here. And they were projecting one thing, but doing another. And I believe at this time, God's saying in the church, I don't want us to be projecting one thing, but doing another. I'm going to make sure that there's a consistency between what you see and who we are. What we're projecting and how we're living. that actually there's a sense of this understanding of the allness that we don't want to have. And I don't believe God wants to have a withholding heart and spirit in the church. But actually, he wants us to say, God, guys, give your all. I want all of who you are, just as I gave my all for you. In fact, straight after this, and at this event of Ananias and Sapphira, we see this text here in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And it says this, the apostles performed many signs and wonders amongst the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else joined them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord were added to their number. Always find that strange. No one joined them, but people joined them. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. You see, I really believe that the allness of heart unlocks the miraculous to happen. And when we come with that allness of heart, it really unlocks something of the supernatural. It creates an atmosphere that God cannot help but be attracted to and drawn to. Self doesn't. When self is being idolized, that's not the thing that God is attracted to. And so I'm asking you, put yourself in the equation of all. God has done some amazing things in our church over the history of our church, but I know there's still so much more to come. I believe that he wants to do so much more, but it's going to require an allness of faith for all of God's people, all of the believers coming together. You know, as we transition back into in-person gatherings, I know there's going to be some of us that feel very comfortable sitting on our lounges right now. Yeah. And you know what? It's been necessary. And I understand that. And, you know, it has been a great season at one level, as much as we've missed so much about gathering together. But the Bible is clear, is that we need to all gather as the church. Yeah. There's a place where we all need to gather as the church, not just in our lounge rooms, but together. Not just some, but all. You are valuable. You will be missed. We want you to be part of that all, because that's the church that Jesus birthed. There's an allness to our faith that we need to embrace. It says in verse 12 of chapter 5, it says, all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. So after this event with Ananias and Sapphira, it says they all got together in Solomon's colonnade. It's interesting that the amplified version of that text actually says it this way: they met by common consent. They met by common consent. Now that doesn't mean they took a vote. Should we meet? That's not what it's saying. It's actually saying something else. They met because their lives had been dramatically impacted by the gospel. Their lives have been transformed by Jesus. Their lives have been changed by the Holy Spirit. And now they desired nothing more than to mutually get together in agreement that Jesus is the center of this all. And we want to come together in his name and gather in his name. This is not a country club. This is not some society. This is the church of Jesus Christ, and he is the center of it all, and we gather in his name. There's an allness to our faith that he wants us to understand. Allness of our faith. You know, our faith is personally discovered but collectively expressed. I want to say that again. Our faith is personally discovered but collectively expressed. That's the way that we see here in the New Testament. And place, the church would be a place where the majority are carrying the minority have real need, not the other way around. God's heart is for all. And with us going into multiple services, for instance, I hope you realize that the need is going to be greater. We're going to need more of the all to be involved in all, to actually help facilitate. And I'm sure many of you have loved, just over these months, just having this church service stream like this into your homes. And I'm sure that you appreciate all of those that have helped make that possible. But now the season is coming where we need to partner with those that have made this possible in order to walk into that next season that God has for us in order to make it possible for people to come and gather in his name and for the church to be an all response to the allness of our God. And so we've got so many different opportunities. Jill was talking about those a little bit earlier. And I want to encourage you, think about yourself. How can I be involved to actually help make that happen? Secondly, it says not only was it all the believers, but it says they shared all that they had. In verse 32, they were one heart and mind. And out of that it says they shared all that they had. You see, this isn't just talking about money. It's not just talking about finance. Giving is not just a financial thing. I mean, obviously it's an important aspect of what we do. And I love the fact that we as a church community, we're a generous church. Because where your finances are directed, that's where your heart will be. The Bible tells us that. But it actually also, this generosity of heart also involves giving of our time and our talents as well as our treasures. And it comes from this understanding, you've heard me say this many times, that we're blessed to be a blessing. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then in Genesis chapter 12, there's what's called the Abrahamic blessing or covenant or promise that was actually made to Abraham. And in the book of Galatians, it actually says that we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to this promise. And this is what God says to Abraham and therefore saying to you. He says, "I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, Abraham, and you're going to be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." And now we know that Abraham, when you read the story, was blessed in so many ways, not just financially, but relationally and occupationally, and so many talents and giftings and just everything he did, there was this blessing. But Abraham also knew who was the author of it all. He knew that it all came from God, and he knew that the reason why he was blessed was in order to be a blessing. You know, all of the people, all of the believers shared all that they had. Why? Because we're blessed to be a blessing. That's why God has given you the gifts, the talents that he's given you. Because he wants you to be a blessing. Not just here on a Sunday in a church building, but wherever you go. Yes. Wherever you go. And when we understand that, I believe there's something powerful that is unlocked in our lives. You know, nothing has given me greater delight than to hear of people in the season just doing exactly this. I'm hearing of crazy, just people just caring for one another and generosity towards one another. And it's just been an absolute delight. And I'm saying, God, may that which you've stirred in our hearts not be lost going forward into the new season. Yeah. Where people are beginning to care in a very practical and generous kind of way for one another. Not because it's orchestrated, but because we're just catching the heartbeat of Jesus. And we understand that it's all of God's people giving all that they have to advance his kingdom, to bless, to care, to build. There's something beautiful in that. You know, I remember just at the end of last year, and many of you would have heard me speaking about at our Heart for the House time that we have in the second half of the year, I spoke about how one of the things we wanted to do was online streaming. I remember at the time, some people were like, "Oh yeah, that's a nice idea, but do we really need to do that?" Well, guess what? And I'm not saying I'm any kind of great prophet around that. It was just something I felt God stir my heart on. And now it makes sense. But there was a man who came to me at the end of last year and said to me, actually, I want to sow into that. I want to sow specifically into that thing of online streaming to make it happen. And I remember at the time, his circumstances, it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense for him to actually sow what he did into that ministry in order to make it happen. And I remember being able to phone him just a couple of weeks ago and say to him, I want to say to you, thank you for your obedience to Jesus. His situation has changed, his circumstances now changed, and we were able to, on the phone together, give praise to God because now it all makes sense. You see, all of God's people giving all that they had, sometimes it doesn't always make sense. But God is at work when he sees that kind of heart response. The third thing is, it says they not only shared all that they had, but they shared with all of their hearts. No one claimed anything as their own, but they shared it with all of their hearts. There were no shadows, there were no withholding, but there was a generosity of spirit that was at play. You know, everything starts with the heart. In Proverbs 4 verse 23, it says it this way. It says, above all else. So that means this is a really important thing. Yeah. Guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. To live in the allness that we see here in this text, our hearts have to be affected and our hearts have to be transformed. Jesus wants your heart, yes. Not just your body, but he wants your heart as well. In Mark 12, verse 30, it says that the greatest thing that we can do, it says, Jesus says this, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. You see, because a surrendered heart, a heart without competing affections, is a heart that will be moved to the rhythm of the heartbeat of Jesus. I remember when each of my kids, I have three kids and they're all grown up now, but I remember when we went for their first scan. I remember going and listening, and the first time we heard that scan and you hear the heartbeat, something comes alive inside of you when you hear that heartbeat for the first time. When that heartbeat comes, you say, all of a sudden it's like, wow, love erupts. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, something's alive. It's the same thing when you catch the heartbeat of Jesus, something comes alive on the inside of you. Jesus wants your heart, not just your body. You know, people can sit in church Sunday by Sunday and still not have surrendered their hearts. Jesus wants your heart. Why? Because your heart affects everything that you do. And he wants to come and just bring new life again. You know, it says, goes on to say in that scripture in Mark 12, verse 31, it says, the greatest thing is to love God with everything that you got, with your whole heart. But he says, the second thing is this, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, an affected heart will be an effective heart. An affected heart, a heart that's affected by Jesus, will be an effective heart. He wants us to be those kind of people. And I believe the reason why we can see people selling land and this kind of radical excessive generosity that was happening here and putting it at the feet of the apostles to say, look, you just distribute however you see need. I believe the only reason they were able to do that was because their hearts were right. There was a purity of heart. They had surrendered hearts. They had affected hearts. And as the Holy Spirit moved them, they showed that they had a high trust, firstly in God, and secondly in one another. Yeah. And it says that in verse 33, it says, as a result of that, the apostles continued to minister powerfully because of the grace of God that was just evidenced amongst them. You know, you're not going to get as involved as you should if your heart's not right. Jesus desires to have your heart. He wants you to have your heart. And if there's shadows, if there's hurt, if there's unforgiveness, if there's things that you haven't dealt with, I want to encourage you. Why don't you surrender those things to Jesus? Why don't you lay those things at the foot of his cross? Why don't you allow him to affect your heart and deal with them? Maybe you've got to confess some stuff. Maybe you've got to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you've got to repent of some stuff. I don't know. Maybe you've just got to simply receive his mercy and his assurance. But let's assure that our hearts are affected the right way. You know, I played soccer for many years and both indoor and outdoor soccer, and I love the game. And there's nothing more frustrating than when you're playing in a team with players that are playing half-hearted. Some of you might resonate with that. You're like, oh yeah, that's right, you know. And this is what I've learned, is that a team full of players, full of hearts, can achieve a lot more than a team full of half-hearted players, no matter what their skill level. And I want to say to you here today, if you're watching this, just give all of your heart, surrender all of your heart. All the believers shared all that they had with all of their hearts. And my last point is this, as a result, all the needs were met. All the needs were met. It says in this text, there was no needy people amongst them. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because that's quite a profound thing, because we live in a world where there's so many needs. You just have to go to your own community and you'll be aware of the needs in your neighbors and around you. There's needs everywhere. But it says here, there were no needy people amongst them. And I believe if we can play our part with all of our hearts, with all that we have, then all are going to be impacted and needs are going to be met. And I think that's what the church needs to be. We need to stop looking to institutional, organizational church to be the answer to the needs. Pastor Danny touched on some of this last week. But I believe we need organic, Holy Spirit-empowered believers, the church, to say, actually, God, you've called us and placed us to be those that will actually meet the need. We want to put ourselves in that equation. We want to be part of helping answer the needs of those that are out there. Pastor Danny spoke last week about the fact that one of the signs of the early church was that the church was socially aware. And that thought has kind of been something that has just sat with me, and I've just been thinking it through and just processing. And 2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to speak to someone called Justin Muhammad. He's a good friend of ours and used to be part of him and his wife, used to be part of our church, and they now live in Melbourne and Victoria. We spoke about in my midday chat about issues of racism, reconciliation and faith, and issues that have been very much on the agenda worldwide at this time. And if you want to see more about that, you can check out my Instagram account. It's on the Instagram TV thing. You can see that talk there. But he's been a leading advocate for reconciliation in this nation for many, many, many years. And it was an initial discussion. It was a discussion of just trying to put some things on the table and trying to understand the layers and the complexities of some of the issues. And because you know that as believers, racism cuts to the very heart of what we believe and what Jesus modeled. And part of my reason for wanting to have that discussion was to try and understand some of the pain, some of the hurt that those on the receiving end of that feel and have been affected by. How much perceived systemic racism there can actually be out there that we don't even see. And then what can we do as believers, as the church, to be part of the solution? Not part of the problem. Here's the thing that I know is that silence is not a legitimate response for us as Christians when it comes to injustices. It's time to be quiet on some things, and the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. When it comes to injustices, the church is not meant to be silent. And we have to be at the forefront of ensuring that dignity and honor and value and worth is given to all. And if there's need, then we want to be those that are saying, God, let us be part of the solution. We don't want to point to someone else. Help us to be part of the solution. I think sometimes we don't address the need because we don't understand the need. But ignorance cannot be our defense. We need to allow our hearts to be broken. We need to allow our hearts to be transformed and broken by what Jesus' heart is broken for. We need to say, Jesus, show us what we don't see, and let our hearts be broken for what breaks yours. God, we want to respond out of that place. Not just out of what the culture's saying or anything else, but God, we want your heart on these things. Jesus came and died for all. And we need to be those that respond in the same way. I find it interesting that on the day of Pentecost that we looked at a number of weeks ago, there were all these different nationalities that were represented there when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Some commentators say there were as many as 15 different nationalities. And then what happened? As the Holy Spirit was poured out, lives were transformed. They in turn went back to the places from which they came. And the gospel started going to every tribe, every nation, every tongue. See, God's heart is for all, not just for some. And we need to be those that, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we need to be those that are ministering reconciliation, not causing division. You see, all the needs were met amongst them. The church was powerful, I believe, and I'll close with this thought, because all of the people shared all that they have with all of their hearts, and so all the needs were met. That's the kind of church that Jesus wants us to be. Won't you stand with me, please? And if you're at home, maybe you can respond in whichever way you feel appropriate. But I would love to pray for us. And I'd love to pray for us because this message about the allness of our faith, I believe, calls for a personal response. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at on this journey. Maybe you're living the truth of this. Thank God that you are. I hope that you can inspire and encourage others on that journey too. But I know for some, maybe something of what we've looked at here today and what I've spoken about, maybe it's kind of your heart is kind of saying, I know I need to make an adjustment. It starts with understanding that Jesus gave his all for you. As you allow your heart to be broken, as you allow your heart to be surrendered to him, that he gives us that ability to be part of the all, to give it all, and to help meet the needs of all. It's not on your own strength. He's not calling you to go on some personal crusade. He's saying, let it come for an understanding of what Jesus has done for all, including you. And so can we take a moment to pray? Maybe if you need to respond in some way, you can just do whatever you need to do. Maybe you can lift your hands to him. You can just respond in some way that you know that you're activating your faith right now. Let's believe that in this moment, God's going to do something significant. Father, I say thank you. Thank you that you gave your son, who gave it all for all. And I pray that today, that as your Holy Spirit has been speaking, maybe for some they've seen themselves outside of the allness of the church, that today something would shift and change in their hearts. They would say, no, God, that's changing today. Maybe, Lord God, there's people that have just realized that they've been going through the motions of attending church, but to be honest, they haven't been living that thing of being followers of Christ. Lord, today may that change. Lord, I pray for hearts to be fully surrendered to you, and no shadows, no hurts. If there are any of those things, we surrender those things to you today. Say, Lord, I don't want to carry them anymore. Father, I pray for those who just know they want to give it their all and be part of shifting the atmosphere. I pray you would show them how they can do that. Father, for those that want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem, and help meet the needs of the society in which we live, I pray you would break their hearts of what breaks yours and stir their hearts afresh today. And may your Holy Spirit empower them in a fresh and new way. I thank you, Lord God, for all of God's people giving all that they have with all of their hearts, and all the needs were met. May that be a reality more and more in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.